بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Hey, for those of y'all watching on YouTube.
Oh, I know we look different.
We look a little different.
I know we look
different. Get a haircut or something?
We sound different. We look different.
No, matter of fact, I think our chairs are just different. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a nice place to be here. But inshallah ta'ala, this is going to be our first podcast in a new space.
This is the pilot.
I want to give a huge shout out to our partners who are now sponsoring the Deen Tour podcast, Human Development Fund. They're an organization committed to making change around the world to help children, women, and men commit to better lives and their future. So, inshallah, you'll find in the links in our description, you know, the websites to go find them and to the links to our campaigns that we are fundraising with them, inshallah. We'll talk more about that in the middle of the podcast. But without further ado, let's get into this podcast, bro. So
hold on, one second. I remember one time when we were in Chicago, ICNA, there was a lady who came up to us. Me and you, Osman. She said she was a graphic designer, and she was talking about our setup. She said we were long overdue for a new setup. She said, what's this plant doing in the background?
The plant.
Your mics, your couches, all these things. So we got to really give a shout out to Human Development Fund for what they've done here. They answered the dua, like Osman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the dua through them of our upgrade, the new mics, the new... You know, the new equipment, it's like, I feel like a brand new man right now.
SubhanAllah, but look, we ain't get rid of the plants, you know? We got two of them now.
We got two of them now. We upgraded.
Hey, but for y'all that didn't know on YouTube, like, watch on YouTube, that's our logo for when you stream on, like, Spotify and Apple. Maybe on the streaming platform, it's not going to be so different, but to tell you to come and watch on YouTube, actually. So, exactly. Anyway, you know, the first thing I wanted to talk about, actually, was... let's not like shy away from what's going on in the world. You know, I don't like to get too political sometimes, but I do want to talk about like how the world is becoming ever more silent about, you know, the struggles of our brothers and sisters in the Muslim Ummah. And I don't need to mention too much in detail, but I do want to say something. So there was a hadith, you know, remember our brother was talking about it yesterday, mm-hmm. where the Prophet ﷺ was giving a warning of what...
What will become of the Muslims.
Yeah, what will become of the Muslims. And that we will be, you know, high in number, but like low in quality. Mm-hmm. Like our quality is very low because we're divided by the dunya. We're divided by a love for power, authority. You know, the treasures of this dunya that we don't stand with each other to, you know, when our brothers and sisters are suffering. So that's, you know, something to go out to all of us. You know, you may not be someone who's in a position of power, a position of authority, but... the only authority that really lies on the Day of Judgment is the authority with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's just something to think about.
You know, I think it's very befitting to talk about this because, you know, the organization that sponsors us helps a lot of those people, help the people that can't be helped. You know, they help the people. You know, it almost like the only way, it feels like the only way to do our part is to make a donation, $10, $20, $30. It feels like that's the only way we can do our part. It feels like, you know, it's above our pay grade, you know? Like when I sit here and I hear these discussions and I hear these debates and I hear... who's this person's right, this person's right, that person's right, this party's right, this party's right. And, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of arguments, there's a lot of opinions, there's a lot of things, you know, that are to be taken into account. It's, well, it's like, how can I help? What can I do that's good, you know? Yeah, I know, and I think everybody can agree, something that's objectively good, feeding someone who's hungry, giving people food. There are people out there who are not as fortunate as you.
Helping somebody's well-being.
Exactly. And, you know, that kind of ties back into, you know, this is a pilot episode. Let's talk about, like, you know, how we first started. You know, subhanAllah, things, you know, the Deen Tour podcast, I remember in our first episode, someone made a compilation of like a lot of all of our episodes and they sent it to me. This thing said we wanted to make change. You know, do you guys feel like we made change with our podcast?
I mean, it's not for us to really say though. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because like,
audience.
Look, we're not here to say like, oh, we enact change in other people's life. I mean, I could say it enacted change in my life, you know, brought me closer to my religion, brought me closer to wanting to seek knowledge in other areas, you know, perfect my, or at least better my life in certain areas. So I could say that that's how it's impacted me. You know, it's made me better, like having these types of conversations. They always uplift you. Like, they never take away from you. They never decrease you. And for someone who's listening, you know, you should try to take that same type of approach to say, like, you know, listening to this should never decrease me. Although, unless, you know, we're saying something wrong. If we're saying something wrong, then, you know, that's where you correct us. But if that's not the case, then I do think that there's a lot of benefit you could take from a podcast such as this, because we're trying to be rooted in, you know, in our religion, which is our way of life.
Yeah,
and that's the thing too. I mean, the biggest thing I'd say I'd probably take for myself just doing this is reminder benefits the believer. Like, this always just sticks in my head, because no matter, you know, no matter if something gets repetitive, if it's always good for me, then that's something I want to continue on, right? It's something that I never want to stray off of. If I could sit here and sit down and do these every single week and also take something from it and learn from it as well, even if it's something that I already know, then it's always going to benefit me. So, you know, that's the nice thing about these podcast episodes. Even if we're not talking about anything, you know, brand new, the fact that you came on here and the first thing that you talked about is, you know, the things that are going on in the world, because as human beings, we get desensitized. We see it all over social media. We hear about it, then we forget about it, and then we go on with our day. It just becomes normal. No, we need somebody here actively talking about it, actively reminding us, actively putting things in front of our faces, right? Mm-hmm. You know, no matter how many times that we see it, because we really need to know what's going on out there. We need to know what's going on in life.
Exactly. And you can get on there. You can say, I've never heard anybody say this, though, but you can get on. You can say, oh, these guys talk about the same thing every time. Oh, why they keep saying this? Why they keep reminding about this? You can call us annoying. You can call us repetitive, but you can't call us liars. You can't say that we're wrong. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, we're going to keep on doing what we do. It kind of, you know, it's funny how, you know, a mic and a wire and cameras, they kind of gave us a sense of purpose. And, you know, it kind of feels like this is how we do our part. You know, we've had a lot of people come up to us and, you know, tell us how, oh, we've helped them. We've done a lot of things for them. It's like, we just sit there. We say, alhamdulillah, smile. It's kind of surreal. Us three knowing each other. We grew up with each other. We saw each other when we were kids. Now we see each other. Like, in my eyes, you guys still look the same to me as when we were kids. But, like, to the other people, to the outside world, we're kind of like, we've become like kind of these figures, the Islamic trivia guys. We become, you know, these people. And so, you know.
Matter of fact, you know what? Get into that real quick. Like, what comes with that type of imagery?
Oh, this is something I wanted to talk about, right? Whenever we started, you know, gaining traction and stuff like that, a lot of people, bless their hearts, they came, you know, with reminders. They wanted to, you know, say things to us. They're like, okay, like, subhanAllah, you guys got, follow, you guys have got, a lot of people, they ask me questions. They ask, like, oh, do you guys make money from this? You know, things like that, right? One thing I didn't really like was, like, they always say, oh, don't let the fame change you. Don't let the money change you. Don't let this, don't let that, don't let this. Why is it such a negative assumption when we do something good? Why is there such a negative assumption, negative view on it? You guys have anything to comment on that?
Okay, but look, see, when, you know,
when someone does something great, it's always, oh, don't. It's like, no, don't go. Don't be great. Don't. Like, it's kind of like that. That's what it feels like.
It's because, like, when you live, like, everybody has a stereotype. So if you do end up doing something that makes you successful or wealthy or, you know, by someone else's viewpoint, you're in a position that they would like to be in, but they're not in, then obviously they're going to look at you and they may feel some sort of envy or jealousy. Maybe that's not the case. But look, if you get some followers online, everybody's automatically going to assume that you're successful. Even if you're not profiting any money off it, even if that's not your goal was to have followers, then that's how people are going to view you. The same way, like, for us being in the Muslim space, you know, it's very scrutinizing because, you know, the moment you slip up, the minute that every good that you have ever done has been thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that is not anywhere taught in our religion, subhanAllah, but the fact that that's how life goes. It's not even just for Muslims. It's for non-Muslims, too. Like, anybody out there who does so much good, right, they've done so much good stuff in their entire life. They may have been someone who's, like, a philanthropist or something. They find one bad tweet from 7 years ago, and all of a sudden now they're a bad person. Mm-hmm. Now that everything that they ever did that was good has been negated. And, like, how does that make any sense?
Right? It's kind of sad, you know?
They act like somebody can't recover from the mistakes that they did.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the reality is everyone's going to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you like it or not, whoever that, you know, your favorite sheikh, your favorite scholar, your favorite, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. You know, there's no human being on earth right now that is going to be perfect.
And I'll tell you, we've been around these influencers we've seen them get scrutinized online. We've seen people talk bad about them online.
Oh,
and they've been amazing people.
I was just going to say that, you know, subhanAllah, like, a lot of these people that get scrutinized online, they get a lot of backlash. They get a lot of hate for the stuff that they do. You meet them in person, like, they're one of the most kind-hearted, amazing people that I've ever met.
Take it from us, guys. Wallahi, take it from us. I've seen people get scrutinized on social media, but I meet them in person, and they're the nicest people I've ever met.
But you want to know the other thing, too, right? On the other side of it, no matter what it is that you do, people are always going to have something to say. Mm-hmm. Whether you do something good, people are going to say, why didn't you do it this way? You do something bad, people are always going to, going to call you out for it. They're going to start bashing you, whatever it is. You know, it doesn't matter what you do.
And, we were talking about it earlier. I have a question specifically for you. You drive a really nice car, right? Allahumma barik. May Allah bless. What do you say to the people? They always have, they see something nice, they have something negative to say about it. Mm-hmm. Oh, why? Brother, that's a waste of time. That's a waste of this. That's a waste of that. Why, brother? Why? Come on, tell me.
I mean, I'll just go right here. Just go for an example, right? Like, for example, right now, it's an M4, right? Mm-hmm. It's a nice car, right? A lot of people like it. People call it a TikTok car. People mm-hmm. call it overrated. Some people say it's a nice car in the world. Some people say, oh, it's just, I take this over some supercars. Other people say, oh, that's regular traffic. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, someone's always going to have something to say, right? Mm-hmm. And like, even before I had that, I had another car that I really liked, right? Mm-hmm. You know, 340i, you know, it's not considered a real M car, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, yeah, you don't even have our M car. You know, then all of a sudden I get into the M car. Oh, why didn't you get a supercar? Or why'd you get that car? Why'd you, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's just it's never ending. Always going to be something, right? Mm-hmm. Then, you know, subhanAllah, like, inshallah, one day you ever hop into a supercar. Oh, you hop into your first Lamborghini. Oh, why didn't you get a Bugatti? Blah, blah, blah. And the funniest thing is the people that are talking about this, like, have never even, like, put their hands on one of these things, mm-hmm. right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they don't know what it would take to achieve these types of things. There's nothing wrong with not driving one of these things, right? But it's just the fact that, you know, somebody always has something negative to say. Another thing is, I mean, I just had this conversation the other day with somebody. They say, oh, why do you need to have these expensive cars, right? You like to flex or something like that. And I said, no, that could be farther from the truth. Mm-hmm. The fact is, I do this as a hobby. I enjoy it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Whether I be in the most expensive car in the world, it's because I enjoy it. Not because of the price tag that's on it. It's because I actually like what it has to offer. I like the performance. I like the looks, you know, things like that. And these things obviously are going to cost money, like mm-hmm. any other hobby that you do. You know what I mean? Beautiful. Some people love soccer. They'll spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a soccer jersey. In my eyes, that's not valuable. I would never spend that kind of money on a jersey. But exactly. if you talking to me about, oh, you spending $1,000 on this car part here, you know, I'll do it within a heartbeat because it's something I genuinely enjoy. You see what I'm saying?
That's a good way to put it, subhanAllah. So I want to ask, you know, from an Islamic perspective, when you go to the mosque or anywhere, like with that car, what type of reactions do you get generally?
What do you do? How'd you get it? How mm-hmm. much does it cost?
The people love it,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Other thing is, too, like, you know, on the other hand of it, too, oh, this car doesn't have this options. Oh, why didn't you get it with this? Why didn't you get it with that? You know what I mean? Like I said, it's just always a never-ending thing. But, you know, subhanAllah, like, alhamdulillah, like, yeah, of course, there's a lot of great feedback with it as well. Alhamdulillah. It does attract a lot of love, attention, and stuff like that. But that wasn't the goal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, when I hopped into that, it wasn't the goal for that. The goal is because I actually enjoy it. It's something that I always look forward to. Mm-hmm.
The idea is people always, they're always going to have something to say, subhanAllah. Cliche.
You know, I actually had a question as well. Like, speaking on this type of topic, you know, someone always has something negative to say. What do you think is the most misunderstood aspect of Islam?
Misunderstood? Dude, it's hard to say. Look, I've heard so many things. You know, even like in the car, you'll hear me listen to, you know, journalists, news panels. You hear me people listen to people debate. I hear a lot of things. I hear one of the most misunderstood things I hear is that, like, I don't, it's just, there's so much, like,
you don't even know where to start.
I don't know where to start. Yeah, it leaves me speechless. I guess I can give you a response to how to, like, to those things that people say. Like, you know, I couldn't give you an example. I can give you a response. Look.
Okay, like, for example, people say that Islam hates women.
Hates, yeah, things like that. They're a violent religion. Things like that, you know, you hear it all. You hear it all. My response to this is, one, it's no use, like, arguing with these people. It's no use arguing. Like, I gave that up a long time ago. For those of you who know, we used to go on TikTok Live. We used to debate all the time, argue hours on hours on hours on end to meet all the means but no end. We never reached a goal. We never reached anything. It was kind of
pointless. Hold on. Let me stop you right there. Because the thing is, whenever we used to do those debates and, you know, talk with people, my goal wasn't just to, you know, educate the person that I was talking to. Of course, yes, that is part of the goal. But the thing is, think about all the hundreds of people that are watching. Mm-hmm. You telling me thousands, at least one person took some sort of benefit from that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe, but then you also think about the lies that the other person is feeding that you're debating with. And that's where the frustration comes, because when your mind is surrounded by lehu, like idle talk, things that don't benefit you at all, then you start to hate it. Like, so you hate being in that environment where you feel like you're running around in circles and you're not getting anything done. When something is not a benefit of you, especially like when you try to be someone who's conscious of Allah, then you're going to find yourself hating that stuff. You're mm-hmm. going to find yourself hating stuff that, like, you know, that is displeasing to Allah, even if it's just like conscious, like unconscious, mm-hmm. right? You're not even thinking about it, but you're like, wow, I really don't like this. I don't feel comfortable in this situation. Maybe because it's Allah that doesn't like this situation for me. And, you know, that's the type of thing that you have to think about. And especially if we're going back to the question I asked, you know, the way I would answer some of the most misunderstood things about Islam is that they think people are the perfect representation of the religion, when the religion itself is supposed to be what is perfected and what is perfect. And the most perfect representation is only one person. And we can't live up to that status.
That's the example that I always use. If you want to go ahead and criticize Islam, okay, so be it. Criticize Islam. But go to what Islam actually has to say, not what people have to say. Mm-hmm. I could sit here and I could be saying something completely wrong, right? Because the thing is, anything I say has to be backed by some sort of source, whether it be the Quran, the Sunnah, you know, the Sahaba, Tabi'in, 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 like, or scholars or anything like that. It has to be backed by some sort of source. Like, when you got to understand something. When I say something that's related to Islam, it has to go back to something. If it doesn't go back to something, what am I talking off of?
Yeah.
Off of nothing, mm-hmm. right? I'm just speaking from my own desire, from my own will. Then, you know, what benefit does that really serve,
mm-hmm.
right? Other than possibly creating a lie against Allah and His Messenger, which mm-hmm. we know is, you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Prepare the one who lies against me, let him prepare a seat in the hellfire." Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just think about how scary that is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
You know, just to answer your question, I think when someone misrepresents you, it's important to be vocal about it, but it's also important to show them that they're wrong with your actions.
With your actions, and also the other best way to counter it is knowledge.
Exactly. Knowledge. Look,
like, Islam always talks about the importance of knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be for man, woman, children, like we're always brought up into a point where, you know, we constantly have to be in a state of learning something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Especially when you're sitting here trying to give da'wah. They ask you a question that you don't know, and subhanAllah, like, it's something that you should have known. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know, just to me, myself, I feel like that's one of the worst feelings ever. Like, I'm sitting there trying to answer a question. I don't even have the answer to it. Now, I don't mean in a sense where it's, like, you know, something arrogant. That's complicated yeah. or anything like that. I mean, it's something that I should actually know. Mm-hmm. Like, from a day-to-day basis, it's something that I should be practicing. And
this is my faith. This is what I believe, right, and I should
exactly.
know. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's shivit. Okay. I have another question. It's a would you rather.
Yeah.
So, would you rather memorize the entire Quran but struggle to live by it, or live closely by the few verses that you know?
Live closely by the few verses that you know.
Yeah. I second that.
Tell me why.
I second that. Look, okay.
I'll tell you why.
Yeah. Because, look, hold on. I'll tell you right now. One thing, I really got to get this point off. There is no virtue in knowing things but not being able to act on it. I could be the smartest chemist in the world, but if I'm not mixing chemicals, I don't mean anything.
Now, remember the example that we always use. If you really want to become successful, you have to have a willingness to learn and willingness to change, right? So
mm-hmm.
the learning part would be obviously knowing the Quran, and a willingness to change, meaning acting upon it. Mm-hmm. What's 10 times zero?
Zero.
If your willingness to learn the Quran and actually know it is a 10, but your willingness to act upon it is a zero, you get nowhere, because 10 times zero is zero, just using that example. The other thing is, too, as we know, right, the first person that's going to enter hellfire is going to be a righteous, you know, Muslim. You know why? Because they did it for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't want to just memorize the Quran because it sounds good and you want to, you know, you want to have a nice voice when you're, you know, reciting the Quran to other people, and yet you don't act upon it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's the benefit in that?
And this is the reason why I bring this up is because, look, everybody thinks that, oh, memorizing the Quran, you know, they used to hear this this saying like, oh, if you memorized it, you'll take 10 people with you to Jannah. I'm not even sure of the validity of that, so I'm not going to speak on that. But the thing is, the Prophet ﷺ said, convey for me even one thing. One verse, right? He didn't say you have to convey the whole Quran. He didn't say you have to become a hafiz. Not even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said you have to become a hafiz. The best thing that you can do is be someone of reason, someone who understands, someone who seeks to reflect upon the Quran. You can't, if you memorize the whole thing, but you fail to reflect on it, then it's going to show. It's going to show in your character. Your character is going to be ugly. But you might be someone who recites so nice, leading tarawih and things of that nature. But where's the barakah, right? Like, you might be getting good reward from your prayers, but then the way that you deal with the creation, like, you think that that's, you know, overlooked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's really not, because the best of the Muslims are those who are best in character. And that is one overlooked aspect of the Sunnah, is that to truly be a person of the Sunnah, you have to be able to act upon the Quran. Because the man who is known as the walking Quran wasn't because of his memorization of it. It was because he was able to act upon it better than anyone else. Can you tell me any of the Khulafa Rashidun, the four Khalifas, the four righteous predecessors after the Prophet ﷺ, were any of them memorizers of the Quran? We don't know them to be, because the only ones we know are, there's multiple, but I know the one that was the chief compiler of the Quran, he memorized, which is Zayd ibn Thabit, mm-hmm. radiallahu anhu. But I don't know personally if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu memorized the Quran, but that was not because that's not what made him righteous. Memorization of the word of Allah doesn't make you righteous, but having it in your heart, even if it's just the last three surahs of the Quran, which is Nas, Falaq, and Ikhlas, what is that going to do for your heart? One third of the Quran is Surah Ikhlas, which teaches what? Tawheed. That is the whole message of the Quran. That's the main message, matter of fact. Then the last two, what do? They are cures for all ailments, Surah Nas and Surah Falaq. These are cures for every single ailment known to mankind. So if you were to know these three, matter of fact, I believe it was Imam Shafi who said Surah Asr would be sufficient as, like,
for mankind, yeah.
For mankind as,
yeah.
Revelation.
Yeah.
Because it shows literally what the state of our, like, of mankind, that we're all in loss except for those who seek to do good and who call to truth and who call to patience. Why is calling to patience something that is so important? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what in Surah Al-Baqarah? Seek help through what?
Prayer, patience,
and prayer.
Yeah. Why is patience in there among prayer, the most important pillar of Islam after the Shahada? Why? I'm genuinely asking.
I think it ties back to what we were talking about earlier about the things, you know, talking about, you know, hobbies, the things we enjoy, and things we also have to understand that this world is full of things that we don't enjoy, things that we don't like. I guess what I'm trying to say is that this place isn't, you know, paradise. This place is not, this place that you have to, earth is something that you have to accept the good and the bad. In your marriage, you have to accept the good and the bad. In your cars, you have to accept the good and the bad.
Yeah.
You
know? But hold on. I'm asking about patience as in, like, why does he say patience? And, like, give me a representation of what patience look like. Patience doesn't just mean, like, sit with your hardship and do nothing about it. Be like, oh, Allah's going to change my situation or something like that. What is patience actually? What is real sabr in the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When a hardship faces you, or when you're going through a good time or whatever it may be.
When you're sitting there doing your best and you feel like all else is failing and yet you still continue to push through.
You know, I think it to be, you know, being grateful even in a position which is, it's unfortunate for you. Being grateful and being, you know, not reactionary, not hateful, not, you know, acting upon all, like, negativity.
Okay, let me give you a place
that's not unfortunate for you, you know?
Let me give you a dunya later one, all right? You lost your job. Your rent is due in 30 days. You need to find a job within the next 30 days. What does patience look like?
You got to clutch up. That's what you got to clutch up. You got to deal with the stress. You got to go through.
Wait. I'm saying, is patience in that situation just like standing in a long line waiting to get your coffee, your morning coffee, or is patience doing everything, exhausting every single option that you have,
and then
waiting to see what happens?
Like I said, putting on your best, no matter what it is that it feels like you're going through. Because here's the thing, you might do your best to go ahead and get that next job, right? You might go to 10 different places, all 10 of them denied. But what about the 11th place? What about the 12th? What about the 13th, the 14th, the 15th? Until you get exactly what you're looking for, not exactly what you're looking for, either something like it or better. Mm-hmm. Something that's going to go ahead and fulfill your needs.
The first thing Allah is going to give you is what you need, not what you want. What you want is not necessity. But if Allah is providing you your basic necessities, even we're not grateful for that because we think we're entitled to necessity.
Right. For example, like, we think we're entitled to our next breath. We think we're entitled to a sip of water. We think we're entitled to our next meal. There's people out there that don't even know where their next meal is going to come from.
Matter of fact, that's going to bring me right back into our who we're working with, inshallah. We're working with Human Development Fund. And right now, actually, we're working on a project to support several programs in Kenya. So we're supporting the building of water wells. We're supporting orphans, providing back to school support for kids over there and for college students. We're trying to help many people with their livelihoods. And you can find all of this information on their website or at the Launch Good in our description, in the description of this episode, inshallah, and in the links in our bios on all platforms. Go support any cause that you can within Kenya. Donate whatever you can, inshallah. Nothing donated fi sabilillah is ever, you know, wasted. No, nothing given for the sake of Allah is ever wasted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you were to give for his cause, if you were to loan Allah, goodly loan, he will surely multiply for you. And Allah is the most appreciative and the most forbearing. So,
hold on. With that being said, hold on. I got to say something. Man. Look, man, we've come a long way. We got the new mics, we got the logo, we got the new studios, subhanAllah. How does it feel, like, alhamdulillah, that we're able to help, like, you know, people of Kenya, we're able to help them? Three Sudanese brothers, I remember you guys, I remember when we were little, I remember, you know, the things we used to hold important when we used to go to Sudan. I remember how we used to be, we were young. When we first started this podcast, I was, what, 16, 17, 20 years old? Man. Now we get to help. Like, it's surreal. Like, kind of got to give thanks. I got to give thanks to Human Development Fund for allowing us to be a medium to where we can help people, to where we can help, you know, people in Kenya. You know, we do our part. They do their part.
First, I'm about to one-up you. First, we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, we got to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said alhamdulillah.
I was thinking that.
But he's right. Look, you know, this gets into a different part of, like, the podcast. So we were talking about, like, being Muslims online and stuff like that. And alhamdulillah for all the opportunities that we've been given. But, you know, this is advice that I want to give to every single person, young or old, wherever you are in life, that no matter what you're doing, whatever your livelihood is, you have to seek to do that for the sake of Allah in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't matter what it is. Because, look, if you're someone who seeks to work and you're a man, you want to provide, you want to support your family, boom, make that in your intention for the sake of Allah. Not just to please your family or to support your family here in this dunya, but how that's going to elevate you in the hereafter, because all of that is an act of charity. You know, the best, what is the best sadaqah you can give?
The one to your family.
The one to your family, specifically the one to your wife. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but then what is it after that? You know, sadaqah is also still something that you give to the people who are needy, the orphans. Allah honors the orphan. Allah honors the people who are hungry. And look, what does Allah prescribe to every prophet that we see in the Quran, or the most prescribed things in the Quran that we see? It's prayer and zakat. Prayer and zakat together. It's not just prayer, it's not just zakat, it's both of them together. And you see how important that really is. How important it is to give up your, like, the most valued treasure of the dunya, which is money, which is things we value, wealth, anything of value that we value. Giving that up for the sake of Allah and saying, I don't need this, or that I'm not worried about, like, me technically losing this because I'm not actually losing anything.
You know what this reminds me of? I remember when I was in high school, my sophomore year of high school, I had a world history teacher. And so we reached the unit where we're talking about Islam, right? And yeah, you know when they start talking about this, you know, if you're Muslim, you're in high school,
you sit
up in your chair, you're like, all right, what is he gonna say, right?
Yeah.
And surprisingly, you know what he said? One of the things he said, dude, Islam is a religion. The first thing he said, it's all about feeding the poor. I remember that. I was like, yeah, but you know, it's more than that. He's like, dude, they are really serious about feeding the poor, you know, doing all this stuff. I'm like, all right, yeah, okay, you got it, man. I was like, I wasn't expecting him to say it, but I was like, subhanAllah. I was like, I never realized how it's, you know, to an almost how it looked like, you know, subhanAllah, but yeah.
Trying to take care of your own.
Yeah.
I mean, subhanAllah, like, bro.
It's not just about your own. It's to anybody.
Yeah, that's true. Because look, bro, even think about the masjid that we go to, how they have a clinic that's open to all of mankind. It's free.
Yeah.
They give free healthcare to all of mankind. They don't discriminate by religion, by race, or by anything. SubhanAllah. And that's like when someone asks you what does Islam stand for, you can show them something like this. This is a representation of Islam, right? When you seek to be equal towards anybody, no matter who it is, and you seek to be good towards them. Because like, having good character as a Muslim does not only stretch out to Muslims, it stretches out to all of mankind.
I want
to
talk about that for a moment. Character. You know, one thing I really noticed is that, you know, subhanAllah, subconsciously, when I was younger, I used to attribute, like, if someone had a lot, like, you know, they were driving a nice car, had on nice clothes, and, you know, looked really well put together, I used to attribute that to them being a good person, which was not always the case, and I had to stop doing that. I gave value to a lot of, you know, worldly things. So it's kind of like, you know, just because someone has a lot of things doesn't mean they're necessarily a good person. It's kind of, you know, everybody's being tested on some level.
Now, it's crazy that you were thinking like that, because usually people think the complete opposite. People see someone with all these things, they're like, oh, they must be an evil person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, exactly. So I had to, that's something, it's kind of like I had to stop being prejudiced towards anybody. And prejudice, you know, sometimes finally, like, you're going to look at me, you're going to hear me say that and be like, oh, well, what do you mean prejudice? No, I mean, like, to myself, subconsciously, sometimes I would be prejudiced. I would make prejudgments before I even met someone, before I even knew someone. Not judgments where I would act upon it and act a certain way towards them, but it's just like, you know, assumptions that
that first thought that you get in your head,
assumptions that should have really been there, and I kind of had to stop doing it.
Look, okay, you know, I actually have a question too. So why do you think we automatically assume righteousness towards, like, a man we see at the masjid or a woman we see that's muhajjaba?
That's a good question.
I don't know, dude.
You know, even if they're not necessarily righteous within their character, maybe they're struggling to pray or whatever it may be.
I think also...
Look, hold up. I want to say that, so as a man, right, the Prophet ﷺ, he was at the masjid. He was always at the masjid. His sahaba were always at the masjid. So when you adopt that mentality or that habit to be at the masjid, or if someone just sees you at the masjid one time, they're automatically going to think, oh, okay, yo, this brother, like, he came to the prayer. Maybe not just Jum'ah. Let's say you went to Isha or even Fajr. Fajr, like, I'm going to think you're even more honorable, because, like, I even struggle to try to go to Fajr. I know my brother, Allahumma barik, he does. But... same for a woman who's muhajjaba. You're automatically going to assume, oh, she's a little more righteous than a woman who's not wearing it. Why? Because these are things that are honored not by us, but by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By virtue, you're going to feel more honor towards them because of the honor placed upon this person from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person is in the masjid. He's in a house built for the sake of Allah praying. This woman, she's covering herself in a society that tells her not to cover for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, that's not to say for anybody who's struggling to cover up anything else, but you have to understand that we come with this, with these assumptions. These are good assumptions, by the way. But the thing is,
it's like, why? You know, even when you asked me that question, the reason I don't think the reason I was stumped is because I didn't know. It's because I don't really have those assumptions. It's not really, it doesn't really go through my head. You know, when I see like a hijabi or when I see a brother go to the mosque, it's something I don't really, like I said, I try to get rid of that prejudice. I try to get rid of, you know, if you assume bad of someone, it comes back to bite you. If you assume good of someone, sometimes it comes back to bite
you.
You should always assume the best of anybody.
Yeah, I'm not saying you assume bad. You should never assume bad of someone, even who doesn't go to the masjid, or someone who doesn't cover themselves, even for a brother who doesn't cover himself properly. Look, what I'm saying is that you might assume better of this person, better than you would of a person who's not doing those things, is what I'm saying.
Mm. Basically, what you're saying, the same exact person doing the same exact thing, right, versus them not doing it.
Yes.
Right, for example, like you. I'm going to take you as a person. If I saw you wearing a jalabiya, right, a thobe, you, and I saw you also wearing shorts, right, same exact person, right? I'm obviously thinking better of you when you're wearing the thobe.
Mm-hmm. But, and look, like imagine you guys are outside, and he's like, oh, let's pray. You see he's wearing shorts. You're like, what the heck are you talking about? Let's pray. But then he pulls out some pants from his car. You're like, oh, what the heck? you're gonna be pleasantly surprised, because even though you may not have made an assumption out loud or to yourself necessarily, you did have a little bit of prejudice. You're like, oh, I wasn't expecting him to do something like that. But had you been outside, you know, fully covered yourself up and stuff like that, and the time to prayer came, it's not too much of a surprise for this for you to say, oh yeah, let's pray, because you're already prepared, right? But if you're not prepared for certain things, like imagine everything that we do every single day, we should be looking to prepare for our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it can come at any moment. Meaning, if you are someone who was neglecting your prayer because you weren't covered properly, what is that going to say for you if you do end up meeting Allah in that state? You never know how you're going to meet Allah, subhanAllah. And that actually brings me to another question that I had. Would you rather have all of your past sins forgiven right now, or be guaranteed a good ending?
Be guaranteed a good ending. Because it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish.
Exactly, subhanAllah. It is how you finish. And if you start to live your life every single day with, this could be my end. You know, even I struggle with that right now. You know, sometimes I'll have really good khushu in my prayer, and I'll be thinking, oh, imagine, like, I'll be like, oh, I'm really talking to Allah right now, you know? And you know, when I say the surah after al-Fatiha, like in your first two rak'ahs, I'm like, instead of me just saying these words out loud or saying these words, I'm low-key like, Allah, look what surah I memorized. You know, look what of your book I'm reciting to you right now. So that it's kind of like an achievement for me. You know, I'm speaking to my Lord. So I'm speaking to the one with the highest authority. So it's kind of like, you know, when you show your parents something really cool that you did. So that's kind of how I've taken that mentality sometimes. And it's really nice, actually, because it makes you feel like, yes, I am meeting with my Lord, but I'm also meeting with someone that, like, I want to meet. And what does Allah say for those who love to meet him?
You would love to meet them too.
I'll be asking you, bro. You don't be answering.
I think it's a rhetorical question. Like, I don't know why I'm asking the question. Because sometimes you answer them, sometimes you don't answer them.
I'm asking you so you can say it out loud.
He do got a point, though.
Yeah, sometimes.
He's asking a question, and then 2 seconds later you answer.
Look, I know we're having a conversation with each other, but look, you have to remember that there's a cameras here. So, like, when I'm asking these questions, maybe the people know the answer, but some people don't. We have to assume good. To assume that some people do, some people don't.
No, but, you know, I think with that being said, that's the Dean Tour pilot episode.
No, subhanAllah, yeah. I think that's going to close out this podcast, inshallah. You know, I'm not even going to lie. This was a little, like, all over the place, but I think it was nice just because...
I think it was nice just, like, talking.
It's a new environment for us. You know, we're testing something out. I think, like, being in this environment, more professional, having a better setup and stuff like that, it brings out a different side and a different nature to us. And as we adjust, you know, we'll get better, inshallah. But we want to say one more time a big thank you to our partners at Human Development Fund. Make sure you guys go check them out, inshallah. If you've been looking for a way to give back that is trusted, that is fully backed by us and all the work that we're going to be doing, inshallah, and we're going to be doing some on the ground work with them soon, inshallah, make sure to check them out at hdfund.org and check out and donate, inshallah, if you can, to our campaign for Kenya, inshallah. But with that being said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you could change by sharing this. We're open to correction. Obviously, we're not scholars. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, let us know what you guys think of, you know, you know, the new podcast, the dynamic, the setup, the sound quality. I want to hear all the critiques, inshallah. And I hope they're good critiques. So, you know, with that being said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.